Okay, good morning. Are we on over there? Okay, we have a lot to do this morning. We have the worship and song. We have two offerings, communion, and we need to get on the tape. Is it on? Not yet? When the button guys go, it's all over. Wanted to have food here, you want to take a plane to Savannah. I've never thought about Savannah as a food city, but it is quite a... What? Paula? Yeah, Paula's there. Whoever Paula is, she's there. Probably all week. Probably all week. Yeah. And I'd book all of the before I'd be there. Everything, everywhere I was going to eat in the lunch or evening at Brennan's. Very important people. Well, the first thing God. Tree. I mean, I'd have said fine. I don't need one tree. You know, this is the simple part. It's going to be tough when we start to get into the computer part. Got it? Okay. Good. Let's begin with a word of prayer. And just to change the gears, orient ourselves to being here to worshiping Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, the world that we live in is without doubt getting darker and darker throughout the world and throughout our own country. But we're not responsible to become depressed about the world, upset about the world. We're responsible in our own walk to witness to those who come into our path, to encourage those in our home and our life. So, Father, we pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to You and to Your Son and will be edifying to each of us. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, let's begin with song this morning.
Guide me, O Thou Great Judge.
was good, but we're going to have to work on that one. Okay, we've got a lot of things just to take care of. Let's begin, first of all, regard to prayer and some need of prayer. Gigi called this morning, and they took his mother to the hospital this morning, I guess this morning. And so we need to be in prayer for Gigi and for his mother. I think she's in the final battle stages, but we do need to be in prayer for her, for Gigi, for the family, and those that have gone through this type of thing know a lot that he's going through, so we need to be in prayer. Need to be in prayer for Vic and Cindy in Wichita Falls, Texas, and for their daughter. They need our prayers. Cindy needs our prayers, so let's continue to be in prayer for them. We need to continue to be in prayer for Tish as she continues to work through and fight the cancer. Right? Is it doing pretty good? You don't know. So since we don't know, and only God knows, we'll pray that he will continue to work on it. And we need to be in prayer for Wes's eye. This is serious, people. Sometimes I'll say this over and over, and what Wes is going through with his left eye is a serious issue. And if anything were to happen, he'd lose that left eye. Sharon could do anything on his left side. He'd never know it. And that's a serious thing to have happen to you in a marriage. So we need to be in prayer for Wes and for his eye.
If he'd have minded the first time, he wouldn't have gotten poked in that eye.
Boy, watch out for that right one, man. So, I won't say if something. Let that go. Okay. Any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Yes, sir.
A friend of mine and a co-worker of mine lost her husband Friday morning to cancer.
About how old?
He was early 50s. She's
oh, wow.
Early 40s.
Wow. Okay. Children?
Struggling for a long time.
Children?
No children.
Okay. We need to be in prayer for her, that whatever God is doing. And what's her first name?
Sarah.
Need to be in prayer for Sarah, that whatever God is doing. It's very important to understand sickness and illnesses and what God is doing in them. So often people think that when they get sick that it's all about them. When something happens, it's about them. More often than not in the Bible, it's not about you. It's about someone else or others, and especially for the born-again believer.
And I'd like to change the prayer. Gets it?
Yeah, whoever needs to learn something, learn it.
Yeah,
and see, Jerry's not even here. I'm sorry, I just had to say that. But the classic example I throw out at you a lot is Paul and the book of Galatians, which is the fundamental teaching of all of Paul's teaching. And it's because Paul got sick, and it was in that delay he wrote the book of Galatians. So there's just a lot of things about sickness, illness, God getting our attention. On Tuesday night, we're in the final stage of the segments of judgments. First were the seals, and then the judgments. And now we're in the bowls. And one thing about the bowl judgments is that it affects, the first pouring affects the health of human beings on the earth who followed the beast, the dictator of the divided Roman Empire, and worshipped him. And this is the way God gets our attention when it is affecting us. I'm going to get your attention here. And there's nothing like interruption of our health. Money can be taken away, and that gets our attention. And a husband or wife leaving and divorce, and that gets our. But you're stricken with your body, and that's unlike anything else. And so, God deals with it in a lot of different ways and different things that can be done. As far as the husband of Sarah, we don't need to be in prayer for him. It's for Sarah. and her relationship with the Lord, what's going on in her life right now. So thank you very much. We'll be in prayer. Any other prayer requests? And yes?
Nathan.
Need to be in prayer for Nathan, I'm sorry, and Amber. And we need to be in prayer for these two young people. And God will continue to work in their lives. And, you know, I wonder, and I'm saying this looking at a few close friends here, I wonder how many Adam and Dallas Cowboy fans have prayed for the coach of the Philadelphia, of Andy Reid. The man's going through a lot. His family's going through a lot. I couldn't pick up on whether or not he's a believer or not. I couldn't pick that up. Does anybody know? Okay. I couldn't pick it up in the reading and listening of all that he's going through. And we need to be in prayer that God will get his and his wife's attention and family's attention. And I'm always interested in reading and listening how reporters and the different people take on it. They got this idea, I guess, that if your children are on drugs, you should stop working. Everybody in America should stop working if your child gets on drugs. Everybody stop working. I mean, I don't think there'd be too many people working in America if that happened. But that isn't the solution. But we need to be in prayer for Reed in the spiritual realm. Put all of the football aside in the spiritual realm. He's put himself in light of the world, so we should be in prayer for him. Yes?
Some close friend, family friends of my parents, Rupert Garcia.
First name?
Rupert. Lived down the street, all us growing up, and everything was a wonderful family. They just found three huge mountains. And his agriculture with the sternum and went in, and they found these three large natural
cancer.
I would say mid-60s.
Okay. Okay. Be in prayer for Rufus and his family. Children?
Yes.
Yep.
Grandchildren.
Okay. We need to be in prayer for that family. Cancer is just another predominant factor in our society today. Any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Yes?
Kelsey,
we need to be in prayer for Kelsey. I talked to her this week. And here's a young lady. People that just need your prayers. And I'm afraid that my prayer isn't very nice, because my prayer is that whatever it takes, God, get this girl's attention, whatever it takes. And that's if you believe in prayer, that's a dangerous prayer. Got to be careful with a prayer like that. And you just reach a point. Sometimes I know people, they just reach a point to me, it's just going to take it. Whatever God sees fit to do to get their attention, doesn't mean you'll get it. One of the most frightening things and interesting things about studying the pouring out of the seven bowls in the tribulation is that the people will recognize that it's of God. They will recognize what's going on, and all it does is cause them to hate him even more. Instead of run to him, repent and run to him, they become more angry, and that's why all these armies are going to converge on Israel. In the Battle of Armageddon. If we can get rid of these Jews, if we can get rid of all these people that are worshiping this God, then it'll go away. And so that's why all the armies are converging, because they are given. There are some people that believe, no, once the bowl judgment starts, it's over. I don't believe that. Going by the text, I don't believe that. Because the text clearly says, the Holy Spirit clearly says, they would not repent. What would happen if they did repent? God would say, oh no, it's too late? No. God wouldn't have said that. Had they repented, boom! They would be in. So, it's just different things happen to us. Sometimes some people repent, change their mind, and go to faith. And sometimes they harden their heart and dig in even deeper. So, it's a difficult stage, but let's be in prayer. For Kelsey. Let's be in prayer for Nancy Becker. There's so many people that interact with us in different ways on the internet that we need to be in prayer for, and be in prayer for each other. Y'all didn't say, each one of you didn't say something, but there's no doubt that in a room this size that some of you are going through some very difficult things, and prayer is powerful. Now, there's one or two of you that you're just so happy and so, you know, going on, you don't know what's going on, and we're happy for you. But most of us have some areas that we need to be in prayer about and prayer for each other. The Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth a gracious giver. Gracious giver is one who has personally accepted Christ as Savior, but for the offertory, one who understands how to be filled with the Spirit by faith, that any and all giving is under the direction of God the Holy Spirit. Now we're going to take up two offerings. The first offering is our general offering. That would be for the general offering of the church and things. And then the second offering we're going to take up for our internet outreach, and I'll talk about that in a moment. With this in mind, for the general offering, let's prepare by prayer. We are thankful, Heavenly Father, for this humble assembly. We're thankful we have somewhere to come and open up the Scriptures and be established in them, be grounded in solid truth as a foundation of our faith. And we pray, Father, that you will continue to use this humble assembly in the spreading of the gospel to both unbeliever and believer through all the ways that you give us. So, Father, we pray that you receive the offerings that we're about to give. Continue to use them to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ, our Savior. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Let's sing first.
Yeah.
one of the encouraging things in regard to our assembly, especially Tuesday and Wednesday night, is that we have a lot of people that are out and not right here that are part of our ministry. They listen to every class. God has given us a wonderful opportunity, plus been able to send the disc to Africa and to other places where they can listen to the messages that way. They don't have access to the internet. So we have a lot of opportunities, and days gone by as far as tapes are concerned. We still make tapes and still use tapes, but it will not be long before there will be just the disc. I stopped at a garage sale yesterday, and I couldn't believe it. They had an old Nat King Cole reel-to-reel. That is really cool. So those days, we went for, huh?
They said you recognized it.
I had to buy for my collection. I still have reel-to-reel tape recorder. I still have a turntable, a real nice turntable. And so it's hard to give up the 20th century and go into the 21st century. But anyway, we're moving toward the disc. Now, Jim Langston pretty much has this whole burden on himself. We used to have other help, but right now he has to carry this whole load. And so if you would like to help Jim in making disc and getting these things done, please let him know that you'd like to help him work out something with Jim right now. He's gone. No, you're here. And I was here. Just Jim's gone. You didn't go with him.
Are you kidding?
Are you kidding? I'm not going to watch him shoot, Bambi. So, but we're going to take an offering. Because what Jim has to do now, he has to make the disc one at a time. And that just takes forever to make one disc at a time. And we want to buy a multiplayer. And Tyson, we can get a pretty good deal for about how much. What would be the best type of deal that we could look for? Wow, that's not bad. Seven? It'll make seven? Wow. He won't know what to do with all that time. My goodness. I don't want to get into the family thing here. Okay. Wow. But it won't make reel to reel. No, okay. Okay. That's what it's for. Any questions? Yes. I know of about 25 every month, at least that, maybe 30, but about 25 once a month he has to make for the monthlies. Well, the thing is that by him doing it like that, and he's able to take it from the problem is taking it from the computer and burning it and then getting that there, whereas he can just do it if he has the machinery. I don't know. Yeah. If we spread it out and do that. But Tyson, that's good. I didn't know they were that good. Okay. Let's have a word of prayer about the outreach and what we're doing, and then we'll take the offering. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love the Scriptures. We love the things that you open our eyes here in this assembly to the Scriptures, dealing with the spiritual warfare of the angels, seven-headed dragon. But more importantly, Heavenly Father, for the individual life is the battle of faith. It is so sad that so many in the church, in the church itself, do not understand the battle of faith and still have man working, doing, confessing, repenting, feeling sorry, all kinds of things that man has to do rather than just trust you. We'd like, Heavenly Father, to put ourselves into your hands, to be used by you as you see fit in the spreading of this truth. Not by our works and labors, but by yours. So we pray, Father, that even this offering, you will receive it, that these things be done in such a way with the objective of comforting others with the comfort of truth. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, let's open the Bibles to Romans chapter 1, please. Romans chapter 1. As we open the Scriptures, which is not only one of the most important things we'll do, but also one of the most dangerous things we'll do in regard to not seeing the truth. So let's begin with a word of prayer in regard to the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the illuminating ministry of the Spirit, to show us the truth of these Scriptures. Let's pray. Paul's writing these letters, this letter, Heavenly Father, to believers in Rome, and your Spirit has preserved it for us because there's so much in every verse for us. Pray now that your Spirit, who has inspired Paul in the writing, preserved the Scriptures, will now illuminate them, that we can understand the truth. And then, Heavenly Father, it's still not over, the ministry of the Spirit, that these things may become a reality in our souls, in our marriages, in our life, be exemplified and glorified in our life. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, now last week, just to fill us in where we are so that you don't lose it, this is the why I'd like to cover these up to verse 17 at one time, but we didn't make it last week. But remember that the people in Rome are upset that Paul has not come and visited them. No apostle has. And no one has come to visit them and teach them and encourage them in that respect. So there's been a lot of criticism from believers in Rome. There's also the Judaizers have picked up on that, and they have greatly criticized Paul. And so the section that we're now in the opening of the letter, in the first sentence, is that Paul is explaining to the Romans why he has not come to them. So that's the section that we are in at this point. Now let's just quickly read from verse 8 First, I think, now first meaning dealing with you personally. It's not like there's going to be a second or a third and fourth. Just means first and why about my not coming to you. I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you. So here he's thanking God for believers he doesn't know. I hope you do that. For you all. Because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. And I've dealt with it now every Sunday, and we need to move on. But just remember, in the spreading of the gospel and of Jesus Christ in the first century, was people would go out all over the world, traders. I'm talking all over the world. This is not just meaning, well, a little part. All over the world. Rome is the main city of the world at this time. And even over into China, they are now trading back and forth. And people want to know what's going on in Rome. And what people are telling, what these traders and travelers and people that go all over the world are saying. There are people in Rome who believe that this man Jesus, who is a Jew from the area of Israel, is the Son of God, is the Savior, and they believe in him. So their faith is being talked about all over the world. Doesn't mean that people in Antioch are not following and trusting and walking in the Spirit as much as they do in Rome. But the world isn't talking about what's happening in Antioch. The world is talking about what's happening in Rome. So, you travel out, what's going on in Rome? What are the ladies wearing? Who are they killing now? What's going on in the Colosseum? What are they doing here? What's happening? Who's Caesar? What's this? But along with all of that, let me tell you about these people in Rome who are believing in this Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. So that's what he means in that respect. Now, let's move to verse 9. For God, whom I serve, by the way, this starts now, the next sentence, for God, whom I serve in my spirit, in the preaching of the gospel of his Son, is my witness as to how unceasingly I make mention of you. Please get the momentum of the sentence. For God is my witness to how unceasingly I make mention of you. That little parenthetical phrase lets us know one of the hints as to why he has not been to Rome. I serve in the Spirit, in my spirit, the preaching of the gospel of his Son. In other words, I go where he assigns me to go. Then it says unceasingly. You'll remember that this means that whenever Paul prays, he does not cease to mention them. Always in my prayers, making requests, if perhaps now at last, these particles all in a row, if perhaps now at last, by the will of God, I may succeed in coming to you. Now verses 11 and 12. For I long to see you. Okay, why does he long to see him? In order that, there's your purpose clause, I may impart some spiritual gift to you that you may be established. Okay, so that's his objective. He wants to impart from his spiritual gift to them that they will be established in the Scriptures. That is, explaining this now, I may be encouraged together with you, so they're all going to be encouraged here, with you while among you, each of us, by the other's faith about both yours and mine. Paul has something for them. They have something for Paul. Now, let's begin our phrase. Whoop. For I long to see you. This is a present active. Whoop. Let me go back. All right. Oh, it isn't coming up one at a time. I don't know why. I thought I did that before class. Okay. Present active indicative. And people, let me just talk with you about this ideal of what I'm doing here, the present active indicative. That's not to impress anybody. I'm going to explain some things here that are important to you, that you can reap some little gold out of, some encouragement out of, and some understanding of Scripture. So he said the present active indicative of the verb epipotheo. Now, as I have on the board here, it has a prefix. And a prefix, let's see if I can get the right thing. A prefix is the epi. There's your word, and that's a prefix. It adds intensity to the verb. The verb is poeo, or potheo. Potheo means to yearn, to desire something. from all that you are. Now, I want you to think about it in thinking about Paul. Thinking about Paul. Paul considers himself, just in the few verses we've looked at, from verse 1, he's a bondservant of Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel. You combine all that together, and that's what Paul's drawn from. It's from all of those things that Paul sees himself as being that he draws from to make this point. That this is his deep desire to be with them. Now, think about this. Remember Paul as an unbeliever. What kind of passion did Paul have as a Judaizer unbeliever? What did he do? He did what to Christians? Killed them. That's what kind of man we're talking about here. This man's a man of passion. You don't want to sit next to him at a football game if you're for the other team. This guy has passion. As a Judaizer, and boy, when a Jew would believe that this Jesus was the Messiah, kill him. Get rid of him. Wipe him out. This man has great compassion. Not compassion, but great passion. He has great passion in his being. Now, what's happened to this Paul? On the road to Damascus, pow, hit with the light, went blind. That's what you have to do with a man like Paul. You can't just sit down in a nice little club and have a glass of wine and lead Paul to Christ. He's not going to. He'll kill you for bringing it up. You got to hit him over the head. You got to slow him down. A man with this kind of passion, which is not necessarily good, not necessarily bad. Paul's a man of passion. And we've all met people like this. People of passion. And if it's directed the right way, it's great. But if it's not, boy, they're a pain. Maybe to death. So what are you going to do? How are you going to get a man like this's attention? He is on his way to kill Christians. God wants to give him the gospel. He can't have somebody just come up and say, "Hey, Paul, let me talk to you over here." Saul at this time, Saul. No, God has to hit him across the head, blind him. So now he has to sit down. He can't do anything. He can't be passionate about anything. And he's got to listen. He's got to listen. Here's the food in front of you. Here's where you lay down. And here's what happened to you, Paul. So he starts thinking about these things. So now, having gone through that, Paul, servant of God, bondservant, called, set apart, now think of his passion. People remember that the Spirit-filled life, being a Christian and then the Spirit-filled life, doesn't change your personality. It doesn't change your personality. How boring that would be if there was a Christian personality. That would be boring. Nobody would want to marry anybody. It would be boring. The Holy Spirit doesn't change your personality. You're going to be obnoxious as a believer to somebody of an entirely different personality. That's why we have what? Spiritual love. See? That's why we got, "Boy, I'm glad I'm not married to him." See? But we have different personalities, and the Holy Spirit doesn't change that. It uses each of our personalities. It magnifies them to the glory of Christ. Not in sin as killing people, but in living the Christian life. So just think about Paul when he says, "This is why I long to see you." You can bank on it. This is a deep desire of Paul. This isn't just a line. He longs to see them. Now, question. What about you? Don't answer out loud. Play poker. Play Texas Hold'em with me. Just be quiet. What do you long for? What do you have a deep passion about? Do you have a deep passion about who you are in Christ? Or do you have a deep passion about who you are in the world? What do you have a deep passion about? Because that's going to tell a lot about you. And it's going to have a lot to do with your inner happiness. It's going to have a lot to do with your inner peace. It's going to have a lot to do with your decisions that you make in life. Marriage, finance, time, all these things. It's going to have a lot of influence. What do you have a deep passion for? You don't have any deep passion at all? Might want to think about that. Don't have a deep passion about anything. I've often told parents in counseling, I think the most difficult juvenile problem to deal with is not one doing this, doing that. To me, if I were a parent, the most difficult to me would be a kid who doesn't want to do anything, just sit down on the couch, has no passion about anything. I wouldn't know what to do. All you need to do to take a kid, a teenager, a juvenile that has a passion for something over here that's wrong, all you have to do is work on a way to steer that to something good. Not take it away from him, just steer it. But a kid who just wants to sit there with no passion at all about anything, no rebellion, no spirit, no life, no enthusiasm, no energy, I wouldn't know how to deal with that. My mother sure wouldn't know how to deal with it. She might give thanks for it once in a while, but not as a total of any of the children. But so people, you're who you are in the power of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't change your personality. It's not going to change that at all. So you have to say, what are you passionate about? See, Paul does a lot of speaking about himself in this book. I'll do it. I have a deep passion. I have a deep passion about teaching you the scripture that God opens up to me. If a visitor were to walk into this church on Wednesday night and saw only six people here, I know what that visitor would have thought. Must not be very much here. And there must not be anything really important going on here. And let me tell you something. I can understand that thinking. Don't we understand that thinking? Go into a restaurant. Nobody's there. I don't know about this food. I've driven up to restaurants. There'd be nobody there at a time when there should be. Maybe this isn't good. Let's go somewhere else. Nobody's here. It must not be important. It's not important to the people that go to this church. So it must not be. And I understand that. But I want to tell you something. For me, I have a deep passion for what we studied Wednesday night. Reconciliation with God as unbelievers and believers. How we lost it. What it means to be restored to it. What's the cost and how it relates to our being reconciled with one another. I have a passion about that. So you have to decide what you have a passion about. Now, Paul knew that he had the truth to share with these people in Rome. He has the truth for them. There are things they need to understand in the spiritual light. Think about it. There was no printed New Testament going around. Galatians had been written, but whether or not the Romans had any copy of that, we don't know. James has been written. And if they had that, that would have confused them without somebody to really walk them through it. So they have no New Testament. And they have some things to be established about the Holy Spirit, about the Spirit-filled life, about faith. So many Christians today, very few Christians understand the whole dynamics of faith today. So he has some things that he can give them. In order that I may impart to you some spiritual gift. Okay? Now, the aorist, active, subjunctive of a compound, another compound that I want to talk to you about. Metadidomi. And I want to talk about the verb makeup of it. The prefix that you have on the front of the meta right here on the front of the verb. There's your verb. There's your prefix, M-E-T-A. Means with, together with, denoting association. Now get ready for this because he's going to talk about how we encourage one another. So he's using words that deal with association. The verb is didomi, which means to give, to share with someone, giving as in giving an offering. Now, so I want to close that up for right now. So this word that we have here, the meta didomi, giving in association with one another, sharing with one another. What's important here is that subjunctive mood. This is what's important in this verb, and I'll tell you why. Maybe Paul will be able to impart to them, maybe not. See? One, if he comes, he'll be able to. But secondly, If they respond, he'll be able to. But if they don't come, Paul could be there, and if they don't come and worship with him and learn from him, it's not going to happen. So that's why he uses subjunctive mood. Subjunctive mood is dependent on one, God getting him there. God directing Paul to Rome. Secondly, on them, whether or not they're going to come and listen and be a part of what Paul is doing. I may impart some spiritual gift to you. To you is for your advantage in your spiritual life. Now what does this mean? I may impart to you some spiritual gift. This does not mean that Paul will give or distribute spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit does that. That does not mean Paul is going to do it. Paul will give from his own spiritual gift. This is what he's going to give. Now, let's take a look at the word to give, the gift. This is the word gift that we're looking at. And I'll put it on a board for a very important reason. Charisma. Charisma. Ever heard of somebody having that person has charisma and that type of thing? It's used in a lot of different words. Okay, charisma. What's the root? You see the root of that? It's charis. What does the word charis mean? Well, I got it on the board. Big deal. Grace. That's the kind of test I always like where the answer is right in front of you. All right, there's grace. Gift. Favor. Now, the aorist tense, Paul's time with them, gathered up into one lump sum, however long he stays. Active voice, Paul is going to do this, sharing his gift by teaching and him being in the power of the Spirit. But again, look what you have. You have that all-important subjunctive mood. Don't check out the Greek, people. I'm not doing this to impress anybody. If you're impressed by somebody who knows Greek and Hebrew, you're easily impressed. And I might say wrongly. But there are little bits of gold and things that we can pick up on it that are very important. Now, that subjunctive mood that I have up here, maybe Paul will be able to impart to them, maybe not. No pastor, here's on the board, no pastor, no matter how truthful his teaching, will impart to others if they're not there or if they're not listening in the power of the Spirit. It's not going to happen. So this is why he said that I may impart the spiritual gift to you. The purpose of imparting to them is that they will have that grace. And what is the grace? The grace is the knowledge. Now look at the next phrase. That you may be established. Okay. This is vital. Just stop and think about it. I'm not going to give you 15 points. I almost did, but I decided not to. But let me do give you one big point on this word. This is the primary reason for choosing a local church that you will worship in, is that word right there. That you will be established. It's not a social club. It's not where they have a bowling alley, where they have a big youth group, where they have this or that. Here's your reason for picking out a church, a local church. That you may be established. Now, if you want other things, then go find you a social club. There are all kinds of social clubs in the Metroplex area. It's just amazing how many different clubs there are in the Metroplex. And surely there'll be one that'll satisfy that area. But if you want to be established in the Scriptures, that's why you pick a local church. That's what the local church is designed to do. So this is a key concept in this respect. But to establish, being established. Okay, let's take a look at our word now. The primary reason for choosing a church to be an aorist passive infinitive of sturizo. Now let's take a look at the word. Because this, people, this is your life right here. That word is the most important word for you this morning. That you may be established. And I'm just going to tell you right off, if you're not established in the Scriptures here, go find a church where you are. And I mean that. I'm not just being clever. Cute. You've got to find a local church where you are established in the Scriptures, in the truth. Not feel-good messages. Not a big group of people. Not a lot of singing. And people, that's nothing wrong with a lot of singing. I love good singing. I love it. Boy, I just, I'm sorry, I doubt anyone, and I have no reason for saying it other than their religion doesn't spread the gospel, but I imagine anybody that's in the Tabernacle Choir, Mormon Tabernacle Choir, is a born-again believer. I still love to hear them sing. Boy, I mean, they can wail out a song. I love to listen to various groups in Handel's Messiah. I don't know how many of those are believers that are in there singing. They got beautiful voices, and they can sing. And I, in the Spirit, can be edified in it. But that's not why you pick a church. Right there on the board is why you pick a church. To be established. All right, the word is therizo. The word means, as I have it on the board, it means to stand, to set fast, to fix firmly. And here again we have the aorist tense. Paul's coming to them to teach them, gathered into the whole time he's there. Ah, now we have something beautiful, a little change, but you'd want to be aware of it. See this right here? It's a passive voice. Passive voice. And in the Greek, what that means is, you don't have to learn Greek, but you want to appreciate this. What that means is that the subject receives the action of the verb. That means we cannot establish ourselves. We receive this stability. We receive it. It's received. We cannot do this ourselves. I don't need a church. I don't need a pastor. No, we receive this. This is something that we receive being established in the Scriptures. Many people today think they do not need to be established in Scriptures. They just need to feel good in the church. I was completely blown away. Everybody's talking, not everybody, a lot of people talking about that I run into my barbershop, even here, but different places. This pastor in Houston, I know the pastor's father, knew him at one time, but just unbelievable number of people, thousands and thousands and thousands. Well, he was being interviewed on national television. So I thought, let's see what's going on. He actually said, in regard to the question of being taught Scripture, teaching the Bible, well, I deal mostly with believers, and they know most of that anyway. I don't need to do that. But I do need to make them feel good. I need to give them energy. I need to do all of this stuff. And not even the gospel is important. People, that's a tragedy to me. I don't care if he had 10 people or 10,000, 20,000, whatever he's got. This is why you pick a church. Now, if you want those other things, go find a club that'll do those other things. And get yourself in that. But don't have a church that's going to be your social club. Because a church is not designed to be your social club. Church is to be established. So the passive voice is very important here. And each one of you have to decide, am I being established in Scripture when I go to this church, to that church, whatever church you're going to? Am I really learning what this is about? What the Bible says about this and about that, however the Bible is being taught. Then you have also the infinitive down here. It's an infinitive of result. This is the result of hearing in the power of the Spirit, being taught these truths. And then believing them. This is why Paul wants to come to Rome to teach them these things. Now, the word used here by Paul to be established is very important. I didn't put it on the board, but it's very important. If we'd had a lot of points, I'd have developed with this. I just want to give you one thing. This deals primarily with the mind. The Greek word that we have here, sterizo, deals with the mind. Being established in the mind. Steadfast in the mind. People, don't forget something. This is where the battle's fought. This is where depression, anxiety, stress, battle of the mind. This is where the battle is fought. One of the most difficult things that I have in teaching that stress, SAD, SAD, stress, anxiety, depression, and then in dealing with people that I've been able, had the privilege to talk with and work through on some things in that area, one of the most difficult things that I found common was to accept and to come to realize that stress and anxiety and depression is a decision. You make the decision to be that. Oh, no, no, no. It's something that comes on you. No. And I use as many little examples as I possibly can, like the phone rings, you pick it up, and the other line, the other end of the line says, your son, your daughter has just been killed on the highway. You now have a second, a split second to make a decision. Fall apart, go into stress, anxiety, depression, blame somebody, fall apart, cry, all that, or go immediately into prayer, get stabilized in the Lord, and think through this with Scripture. The battle is the mind. The battle is not the body. The battle is the mind. This is where our battle is fought. This is where the Holy Spirit works. This is where you make a decision to walk by faith in the Spirit or not. This is where you decide to walk by faith in the Spirit or walk by the flesh. This is the point of decision. This is the point of battle. This is why one of my favorite verses in the Old Testament, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Whose what? Whose mind is stayed on him. Not environment. It's up here. Here's where the peace is. It has nothing to do with what's going on out here. People have this idea, I change this, I change that, I'll have peace. Wrong. There are people in perfect environment in the millennium. As we go into the second half of the millennium, perfect environment, and they're not going to have peace. There are people today who do not have peace. They have everything. I am so sorry that we do with, call them, even make them celebrities, some of these yo-yos. But it's just amazing how much money some of these yo-yos have. And then we read how they're doing this and how they're doing that and how depressed they are and how all this. And people, that's not alarming to me because it's not in our environment. And then somebody that is dirt poor, happy, stable, in peace. It's in the mind. This is where our battle is fought. This is why God gave us the Holy Spirit. This is why God gave us faith. Please listen to me. You don't have to know a ton of doctrine to have peace. I used to believe that. You don't have to have that. All you've got to be able to do is with a grain of mustard seed, trust Him. That's what you've got to do. And that's tough. That is simple, but not easy. There are a lot of things that are simple, but not easy. You're overweight? Stop eating the wrong things. That's simple? Hey, that's not easy. Not with Bluebell out there. Not with Mexican food out there. You can say it all you want. It's not easy. You've got to make some decisions about how you're going to eat and what you're going to do. Staying healthy. Oh, go to the gym. Do this, do that. Walk. Do aerobics. Do resistance. That's simple. It's not easy. Well, let me tell you something that's even simpler and more difficult. Faith. To just trust Him. To just trust Him. So these people need some understanding in that. Now we come to verse 12. Verse 12 is very important. Paul has something valuable for them, and they have something valuable for Paul. And this is important. A lot of people don't think they have anything valuable for the pastor except money. That's not what Paul's talking about here. Few Christians realize they have something valuable to give to the pastor teacher, the one who teaches them, the one who establishes them in Scripture, and we're not talking about money. There are some believers who know about money. Not many, but some. But very few believers know about what Paul is talking about here. Look at verse 12. That is, that I may be encouraged. So now we have our second word inside, first established. Now we have encouraged, that I may be encouraged together with you while among you, each of us, by the other's faith, both yours and mine. People, you've heard it. It's true. No man is an island unto himself. Perfect environment. You're not going to get any more perfect than Adam in the garden. And yet something was missing. Perfect environment. Something's missing. We're not an island to ourselves. And the Trinity had the wherewith. It is not good that man be alone. We're not an island to ourselves under any circumstance. The Holy Spirit makes it very clear that we are all in need, and we are in need of each other. That's why the assembly. I'm encouraged all the time by some of you right here. I'm encouraged by some of you right here. I'm encouraged by, in the study and teaching of truth, by some on the internet. Not here, but by the internet. Now, some people, I don't need anyone. And that's what they think. That's their arrogance. I don't need encouragement. Well, as bold and as arrogant you want to be, the Bible disagrees with you. I used to be taught about this great thing of being spiritually self-sustaining. People, it's amazing how we can finagle Scripture to be what we want it to be. That doesn't work, according to the Scriptures. That I may be encouraged. Let's take a look. That I may be encouraged, and they also. Aorist passive infinitive of another compound word, and I put this on the board because I want you to see the word. The compound word comes from, it's sum parakaleo. Okay, this is beautiful. It's another place where you're going to get enriched from a language that you probably do not know. Parakaleo. Now, let's take a look at what we have. The word means to comfort, to encourage, to strengthen. You know what's beautiful about this word? This is the root word used for the Holy Spirit. And what the Holy Spirit does inside of us. This is what the Holy Spirit... I love the word for that reason. We'll study it in John 14. I will send you another helper. That's the word used. This is what He does for us, people. He is our helper. He is our helper. Okay. Now, that I may be encouraged, and let's take a look at the word, parakaleo. Actually, I left off the prefix, didn't I? Assume parakaleo. But let's go through it because I want to finish this morning. Aorist tense, result of Paul's time with them. Passive voice, there it is again. That passive voice. What does that tell you? Subject receives the action of the verb. We're going to receive being comforted, encouraged, strengthened. So we receive this encouragement, and we're going to receive it from one another. Paul's going to receive it from them. They're going to receive it from Paul. So that's the passive voice, which becomes extremely important. The infinitive is infinitive of result, of receiving this from each other. Now you'll note a little footnote up there for you. Think about your marriage. Your marriage. Not somebody else's, yours. Your marriage. And we're talking about friendship. Don't hang around with those who pull you down, those who do not encourage you in your spiritual life. And whom should we get more courage from? Our husbands and our wives. And yet it's been my experience in so much counseling that I relate so many marriages like a boxing ring. In a boxing ring, the guy's beating you out in the middle of the ring, and you go over to your corner, and they put you out a chair. That's nice. They take that thing out of your mouth, and they pour water all over you, and they doctor you up, and they help pull out your trunk so you can breathe, and they throw water, and they tell you you're doing a great job. Of course, you're getting your brains beat, but you're doing a great job. You hang in there and keep your left up and all these things and go through this. And then back, you know what a lot of marriages are? You come home, and the beating starts there for the husband and wife. You start getting beat up by, hey, I'm going to another corner, or I'm going back out in the center of the ring. It's not as bad as here. It's a shame. There was a world report I read that marriage is one of the most unsafe places to be in the world. There are more women beaten, raped, abused. It is one of the most unsafe places in the world to be, is in a marriage. And people, that's a tragedy. And they get the stats on it. That's a tragedy. It's a wonderful place. The marriage is a wonderful place. To what? It's a wonderful place to be encouraged, to comfort, for strength, for both, the husband and the wife, to encourage each other, strengthen each other, fun, enjoyment. Eddie Arnold's song, "Make the World Go Away," at least right here in this little kingdom, our home. Just make the world go away. And that's what you do with each other. That's what you do with friendships. You encourage, you strengthen each other. The infinitive is a result. This will happen when believers walk together. Okay. Now, I want to close this morning with how important is this in Scripture. People, it is so important. It's all through Scripture. But let's just note a few passages, and I do have them on the board for you so that we can go through this rather quickly. First of all, Romans chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. "For whatever was written in earlier times," Old Testament, "was written for our instruction, that through perseverance and encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." So this is one of the places, just picking out different places, we receive it from one another, but we also receive this encouragement and strengthening, as you have it here, encouragement of the Scriptures. I don't need to know the Scriptures. Yes, you do. It's encouragement. It's the hope, the confidence of living the Christian life. Verse 5, "Now, may the God who gives perseverance," note that this is given by God, it's not something you conjure up in your own self, God who gives perseverance and encouragement, God gives it. How does He give it? Through what? Through the Holy Spirit. Very good. All right, I like that. "You who are of the same mind with one another," there it is, "of the same mind with one another, according to Christ Jesus." Now, the same mind doesn't mean we're going to vote the same way. Same mind doesn't mean we like the same drinks or like the same movie, like the same music. "Of the same mind" means about Christ and where He fits into our marriage, into our life, into our friendship. Acts chapter 14, 22. "Strengthening the souls." There's the part that is strengthened. See, up here we learn that we're strengthened from Scripture here, and it comes from God. Here, where does the strengthening take place? In the soul of the disciples. That's other believers. Encouraging them to continue in the faith. Continue to trust. That's the battle. Faith is the battle. Saying, "Through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God." And that is dealing with walking by faith. Let's go to the next one. Colossians chapter 2, verse 2. "That their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love," spiritual love. The concept here is not human love, but spiritual love. In their hearts, this is the battle, this is the real you. That soul, heart, mind, different aspects, but the same principle, "may be encouraged, having been knit together in love," spiritual love, "and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding." It's not talking about financial wealth. It's not talking about human wealth. It's talking about wealth from understanding, resulting in the true knowledge of God's mystery. What's God's mystery? Christ Himself. Now let's read 1 Thessalonians 3 together. Please open your Bibles. I know what time it is. Please open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Thessalonians is another great church in the early churches. They were also doing it right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. "Therefore, when we could endure it no longer, we thought it best to be left behind at Athens alone. And we sent Timothy, our brother, and God's fellow worker in the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you as to your faith." People, faith in the first century, as today, it's tough walking by faith. got so many preachers and churches and false teachers. You got to do this and you got to do that and you got to work for God. No, you got to walk by faith. To strengthen and encourage you as to your faith, so that no man may be disturbed by these afflictions. One thing that just, I don't know, I don't think God loves me. All these things happening to me, and I'm just going to stop. It's very easy to just give up, to faint. Let's go on. To disturb you by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we have been destined for this, for the suffering. For indeed, when we were with you, we kept telling you in advance that we were going to suffer affliction. And it came to pass, as you now know. For this reason, when I could endure it no longer, I also sent to find out about your faith. Isn't that amazing? He's suffering. And what does he want to know about? He wants to know about their faith. Can you understand why, though? Let me see if you can understand why. He's suffering, not because he likes suffering. Paul is not like Baylor University that thinks they lose all his football games for the Lord. This is not suffering for Jesus thing that we like to think of in that humorous way. No, if you're walking by faith, this suffering doesn't bother me at all. But I'd hate to think that I'm going through all this suffering and you're not even walking by faith. It doesn't even matter to you. So that's what's going on here. Verse 5, for this reason, when I could endure it no longer, I needed encouragement, that's what he's saying. I also sent to find out about your faith, for fear that the tempter might have tempted you, and our labor should be in vain. But now that Timothy has come to us from you, and has brought us good news of your faith, that you're walking by faith, and love, result of faith, spiritual love, and that you always think kindly of us, longing to see us, just as we also long to see you. For this reason, brethren, in all our distress and affliction, we were comforted about you through your faith. Note what encourages Paul. I'm sure a chocolate cake would have been nice. I'm sure a gallon of good water would have been nice. But know what's encouraging them? That they're walking by faith. They're listening to what he's saying, and they're still doing it. Verse 8, for now we really live if you stand firm in the Lord. That's what will make him feel good. I have it on the board, but just turn with me in your own Bibles. 1 Thessalonians 5, and we'll close with this. 5:11. Here's my ending to the day's study. Therefore, encourage one another. Build up one another, just as you're doing. Therefore, let's look at it. Therefore, encourage your husband. Encourage your wife. Encourage your friend. Build up your husband. Don't tear him down. Build up your wife. Don't tear her down. Build up one another. And this is talking about spiritually. Just as you are doing. That's what they're doing in this church. That's why this church of Thessalonica is such a powerful church. One of the reasons for our local assembly is this encouragement. This is what we have when after we have communion now. We'll have fellowship together and eat. It's a good time to talk. Not necessarily gossip, but talk. There are a few of you. I know what you do. Let me ask all these questions about it. And I understand that. But just fellowship and time. Other people that are walking, different life than you are, but they're in the same battle you're in. And they recognize the same glory of Christ. Let's prepare for the communion. Let's first of all have a word of prayer, and then we will pass out the elements. Heavenly Father, we consider it a great privilege this morning to partake of the communion. What a beautiful word for what is happening. Communion with each other, communion with you. We praise you in Christ's name. Amen. It is our custom that everyone hold the bread until everyone has been served. And the reason for that is that we can take communion with Him while we're taking the bread, and then communion with each other in doing it jointly. One thing we didn't take time this morning to do, that we have to do, how do you encourage one another? How do you encourage your husband? How do you encourage your wife? How do you encourage your children? In some cases, your parents. How do you encourage others? It's very important how we do that. Not only that we do it, but how we do it. And right here, people, I want to say without 20 points, let me tell you this, the little secret to it. You have inside of you God the Holy Spirit. Your husband, your wife also has God the Holy Spirit. So the one in you, if you will allow Him by faith to guide you, you'll know what the other person needs, and you won't even know how you know. How did you know to say that to your wife at that point? How did you know to say that to your husband at that point? Oh, I really don't know. Come on, let's go. Didn't really figure it all out. It's what the power of the Holy Spirit is about, people. That's what wisdom, guidance of the Holy Spirit's about. He knows what your wife needs. You walk in the Spirit. He knows what your husband needs. You walk in the Spirit. He knows what your friend needs. One day it may be one thing, another day another. It's not always the same thing. It's not nearly always the same words by any means. Not the same thing, not the same words. Because we all, every day is different. Walking the Spirit-filled life, walking in a spiritual warfare of what they need. It's one of the things that love sees a need, and then love meets the need. Love sees the need of his or her soul. Love sees the need, his or her life. love meets that need. That's why love, I tell you, sometimes we'll see, nothing will make greater demands on your life than love. What they need is you. You had plans, but they need you. That's that little phrase, people. We know love by this, he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our life for one another. That doesn't mean you're going to lay your life down and die, because you're only going to get to do that one time. So it doesn't mean that. I have plans for today. I have plans for this morning. I have plans for tonight. But I know this person needs me. And you can deny it. Oh, they'll be all right. You can do that. Head on out. Or you can listen to what the Spirit's saying to you. And you don't make a big deal about it either. That takes it away. Well, all right, I'll stay home and I'll be with you tonight. Well, forget it. Go. You're a bigger pain. That doesn't work. You got to do this in the power of the Spirit. How to encourage one another. How to strengthen one another. So we'll have more to say on that. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." It is our custom that everyone hold a cup until everyone has been served, that we can take communion together. Will you please stand? The cup represents the new covenant. The new covenant is how we're going to live without Jesus Christ physically on earth as he was with the disciples. We don't have the cloud as in the Old Testament leading in the day and the fire leading at night. We have him leading us inside. This is the new covenant that we have. So Paul says, in the same way he, Jesus Christ, took the cup also after supper, after the Passover, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Part of fellowship and encouragement is singing together. Let's open our hymnals to 339, speaking of the place of the battlefield, as we were dealing with the soul and the mind. And let's sing together this beautiful hymn in dealing with the place of the battle and how we want to have the mind thought when you do strengthen and encourage someone else in life. Is it all right with your soul? The cost of love, is that all right with your soul? That you have to give up what you were planning on doing? Is it really okay? Thank you. pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the food that you have given to us in Paul's letter to the Romans. We pray that you'll take it now and let it bear fruit in our own souls first, and then in our lives and our marriages and our relationship with others. Father, we pray that you'll set apart the food that we're about to partake. We thank you for it. But Father, we pray in regard to the fellowship that you'll set that apart to your eternal glory and our eternal remembrance. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.